Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Maybe the Iron Sheik is warming up and he will live tweet the USA-Iran basketball game, which would be fantastic, oh, by the way. I mean, I don't know. I think I would watch him live tweet more than I'd watch the broadcast of the game.
I got to be real honest with you. This is your ultimate split-screen experience. If he were to, say, charge a nominal fee to do play-by-play for the game, you would turn down the television and you would listen to the Sheik.
Ooh, yeah, but it would have to be something that's not regulated where you could curse.
No, but that's my point. No, that's my point. As soon as it goes to the web, it doesn't matter. As long as it's not, you know, where you've got to be FCC compliant, we're all good.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, that'd be a gamble. It'd be a risk. It'd be a big risk.
I mean, he'd say some things that would probably get folks wringing their hands pretty fast, but I'll tell you what. For you and I and all those kids of the 80s and early 90s, and now those that have watched some of these great retrospectives on the WWE Network and gone back and found the old toys that maybe dad or uncles had. I mean, we had the Sheik. We had Volkov. We had them all. And they battled the Junkyard Dog for hours every weekend. Oh, it was great. Great times.
Yeah, but think about this now as you want to push it forward. How long would he go on the broadcast until you'd have to say, okay, cut his mic. We can't have him anymore.
No, but that was my point. Is
45 seconds?
No, look, if he's actually on the telecast and network TV, obviously that's not going to work. We know this. Look at the man's Twitter account. Even cable, it's too much. He could be on HBO Max. He could be on Showtime.
After dark. It would have to be after dark.
Well, it is after dark. It's going to be late.
I don't know.
Grab a drink and hang out with the Sheik.
I mean, maybe the internet would even say, hey, man, you're too much for us. All right, we can't have you.
I tell you what, one of my finest, I love live theater and living where we do here in Southern California, all the comedy clubs and everything. Before he passed, one of the last things Rowdy Roddy Piper had done was like a spoken word, you know, storytelling with some jokes mixed in, but a lot of old WWE stories. I mean, you want to talk about greatness? None of that could be rebroadcast. It's all next level stuff. But it was a fun, funny kind of night. It was like, my God, this is what was going on. If the Sheik does the same, I know Mick Foley's about to embark on it. Man, rally up. I'll pay for tickets. Let's go as a group. Come on.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. As always, if you miss any of the show, after our show is over, the podcast goes up on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. It's wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get our best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Listen, subscribe, rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. And it goes up again about 10 minutes after the show is over. Now, clearly in the Olympics, congratulations to Katie Ledecky, the first big gold medal from a favorite. Really the first big moment from an Olympic favorite in the United States that has gone through. But clearly the Simone Biles drama has owned the day. Biles, who withdrew from the team competition earlier today, where the United States went on to win a silver medal, the Russian Olympics team winning the gold medal, she had a bad vault and mentally couldn't get back to where she needed to compete. So she pulled out of the event. The coaches took her out. She gave a pep talk to the team. She said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. She stayed and cheered for a while before she left the arena. But Simone Biles, the greatest gymnast of all time, backed out of the Olympics because mentally she couldn't get it together after she had a bad vault. Now, there's a big thing to know about this that actually isn't nearly as shocking as you think it is. But first, let's hear her explain from earlier today why it was that she backed out of competing.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before, and I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back, went a little bit better, but then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there, so I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself. No injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in.
So that was Simone Biles, and there's a lot of angles on this. And the first one is let's deal with something that people think is shocking, but it isn't. Because there's many shocking things about this. Because when I woke up today, I said, I can't believe she withdrew? She's the best gymnast ever. We're not going to get to see her do a floor routine. We're not going to get to see her. She didn't compete. She was in the vault, which is one of her best events. She withdrew? She withdrew and cited mental health? Oh, my goodness. This part of it is not shocking. The fact that she pulled out and she pulled herself out and the coaches said, yes, you're not going to compete. You think it's shocking, and it sounds shocking on the surface, because here it is in the Olympics, the biggest stage. Everybody has done whatever they can to work their whole lives to get there, right? Simone Biles is the greatest gymnast that any of us have ever seen. And she pulls out there. This is shocking. It's not, right? Because we see this in sports all the time. Whether you realize it or not, you see it all the time. How many times have you seen in the NFL a defensive back commit a pass interference penalty and he gets flagged a couple of plays in a row, and what happens? Coaches take him out of the game. Why? Because mentally he's not there. He's screaming at the ref, so it's, you know what? Come sit down for a few minutes, get yourself back, then we get back in the game. It happens during competition where mentally something happens and you can't focus.
Well, sometimes conversely, what do we do in football all the time? You ice the kicker because you want him to get into his head.
Think about it. I want you to think about this kick. I want you to keep thinking about it, right? And so we see it. We saw it during the NBA Finals when Devin Booker, completely an emotional player, was fouling everybody, had to sit down for long stretches. Monty Williams said, listen, I need your head in the game. And this is the NBA Finals. And Devin Booker is still overwhelmed by emotion and lets emotion rule his game. And it takes away from all the good things he does. We see it all the time, right? I'm using the Devin Booker because it's the most recent thing we've seen. But we see in sports all the time where, hey, if mentally you're not in, you're coming out of the game. If a pitcher can't throw strikes, sometimes it happens in Game 7 of the World Series. Mentally you're not there, I'm going to the bullpen, right? You don't have your control. You don't have your focus. You're going. It happens. Now, it happened in the Olympics to Simone Biles, who we don't think it's ever going to happen to, right? We don't think it's ever going to happen to Tom Brady, where in the middle of the Super Bowl, he's going to go, you know what? Not feeling it, guys. Somebody else has to go in. I can't do it. I mean, gymnastics is a different sport, and she wasn't feeling it mentally. She had a vault that did not go well, and she couldn't get past it. So she said, you know what? I can't do it. And the coaching staff agreed, and right away, they had their replacements ready. The one who was taking her place, I'm going to get my grips right now. It wasn't where they sat and agonized over it, because gymnastics is different. In the NFL and the NBA, all right, if you commit some fouls, you mentally get out of it, you can sit down for 5 or 6 minutes, and you come back in the game in the third quarter or sometime in the fourth quarter. Gymnastics, you can't, right? Yeah, I'm out. I can't do it. Wow, we're coming back. We're doing it right now. Team USA is up. All right, I haven't had enough time. I can't do it. Mentally, I'm not in the right place. So, that happens all the time. I am not shocked at that part of it. I'm not shocked that when a player says, mentally, I just can't do it, the reaction shouldn't be, well, you suck it up and go do it. No, because she's not helping anybody. She went out there and had a horrendous vault, had the lowest score on the vault, which she normally dominates, right? So what's it going to be if you put her back out there? She's going to have the lowest score again. So why would you put her back out there if she's going to wind up having the low scores and dragging you down? You want to put players out there you want to put athletes out there who are more ready to go for the moment. Hey, I'm ready. I'm feeling good. I'm ready for this. I can go. I can win this event. I can go on the uneven parallel bars. I can do things. So you want those people out there. You want the athletes out there who are ready to go. No one wants to put an athlete out there who's not ready. You can sit here and say, suck it up, suck it up, suck it up all you want. But the right thing is to say, you come out of the game and you come out of the event. And Simone Biles said, I got to come out. I'm not feeling it. I'm not helping the team. Because anybody you just say, no, you go do it, suck it up and go. This is not a teaching moment. You're trying to win a medal. And the best thing trying to win at that moment was somebody else competing instead of Simone Biles, because she wasn't ready to do it mentally. That is not a shocking part. That happens all the time in sports. It shocked a lot of people, because here it is in the Olympics in a big marquee event involving the greatest gymnast of all time. But still, this happens to stars all throughout sports. The best defensive backs in the league, it happens to. The best wide receivers in the league, it happens to, when they don't catch a ball all day and they've been sulking. Well, you know what? You're coming out. Why are you out of the game on this? Because you're not mentally in the game. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't resonate and didn't line up with what this official statement from USA Gymnastics was. That's where I think folks got a little salty in the process. And look, some of the comparisons to all-time greats, again, different type of team sport in terms of flow. It's not like they're vaulting together. But the USA Gymnastics, Simone Biles has withdrawn from the team final competition due to a medical issue. She will be assessed daily to determine medical clearance for future competitions. So that, and then when she stepped forward and it became about, you know, the vault and the subpar on her level and in the competition, right, for scoring purposes. Her withdrawal allowed them to still salvage a silver medal. And I say salvage because of the high expectations that go in, right? Coaching change and another teammate ready to step in and do the job. So you have that possibility. As you mentioned, we see it in so many other sporting venues where you do have a long game that you can play. Here, spur of the moment, right? Clock's ticking. Get that substitution going. You can only stall so much. Hey, rewrap my ankles or whatever you're going to do. That's only going to get you so far. And mentally, you're not there that day, you know, that and able to get through it. And let's face it, the type of moves she makes and all of those, there's also the degree of difficulty and injury potential that's out there as well if you're just a little bit off. So that also needs to come back into play. So it's kind of the new generation of athletes as related to gymnastics, right? They're just coming out of this Nassar scandal. We think about the history of women's gymnastics and really some of the low points and problems that you have. An athlete saying, hey, for my own health and for the betterment of the team, I shouldn't be out there, probably isn't the place we want to focus the negativity.
Yeah, look, and you know, you make up a good point about the physical aspect of it. It's, hey, doing things very physical, if I'm not there mentally, I could really get hurt. You know, I could hurt myself. It's like, yeah, because that's another reason why you come out of a game. Hey, listen, mentally you're not helping us, and you're doing something really reckless, and we don't want you to wind up getting hurt. In a sport where she is vaulting herself in the air, and so much is about timing and precision, yeah, that possibility of getting hurt is out there. Of you know, falling and really hurting yourself and injuring yourself, that's there. You know, so for, yes, okay, well, it's gymnastics, it's not football. Yeah, no, but what you're doing in, you know, you're not getting hit on every play in the NFL if you're a defensive back or a linebacker or a wide receiver or running back. You know, it's not happening every play. But you could do something, and if you're not there mentally for something that's that sharp, I mean, yeah, you can't go out there and do it. I mean, I completely get this part of it. And for the suck it up and go play, well, really, how is that going to help anybody? I really fail to see how that helps anybody. And that's just a meathead take that, oh, she's got to get back out there. No coach would put a player out there and an athlete out there that can't do it because mentally they haven't do it. If you have the best player in the league going up there to hit and you know, bases loaded in the ninth inning and here comes Bryce Harper up to bat and Bryce Harper turns to Joe Girardi and says, Skip, I don't know what it is, man. I don't have it right now. What? Go up there and hit. No, you say, what do you mean? I don't have it. I can't do it right now. And you see the look in his eyes. You go, okay, somebody else go up there to hit. Because you need to put somebody in position to succeed, and that player's not going to do it. So I look at that part of it and go, yeah, there are shocking parts to it, but that really isn't one of them. I mean, that's a natural thing, but it's also very different from a team sport that we're used to, like, because we've seen it so much in the NBA and the NFL. Okay, it kind of goes past us. A guy commits a penalty. All right, someone comes out of the game here. You know, we see that all the time. We don't see people removing themselves from a gymnastics competition at the very end of it, right? We see people coming in and out of games in the NBA and the NFL all the time. So it's not something that really registers with us because we see it. But coming out of this, when people don't come out, yeah, that's really what made it such a standout moment. But really, how they dealt with it athletically and competitively, I mean, that's the way to do it. They did it exactly the right way, and the U.S. still almost pulled off a gold medal, winning the silver.
And now we get to go out to Japan and find out from one of our guys what's going on out there, buddy.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, a quick reminder for you. Want to let you know that with Indeed, you can find the perfect hire. It can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes, but with Indeed, it makes hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests to help candidates prove they have the experience your job requires. Their powerful hiring platform even helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. To learn more about finding your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Hey, let's get in with Dan Wojcicki coming up next, covering the United States basketball team as they get set for their showdown with Iran. What can we expect? Will Greg Popovich get fired at the end and Coach K come in? Well, we have it all next right here. Fox.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Where we are minutes away from the United States and Iran in Olympic hoops. The United States are 40-point favorites. If they fail to cover, does Greg Popovich make it to the end of the game? Joining us now on the hotline, covering the game at the Olympics, longtime NBA insider, covers the NBA nationally for the LA Times. Judging by his last tweet, he has gone from telling people he has met at the games that he's from Los Angeles to telling people he is Shohei Ohtani. It is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, what's happening, buddy?
They're like, where are you from? I just say, Shohei Ohtani, and I shrug my shoulders. And everybody goes, oh, Shohei Ohtani.
Do you show them your batting stance and how you swing the bat? Great.
The worst habit I've developed is I try to all the obscure Japanese White Sox players from the mid 2000s. I do like I'm like Shingo Takatsu.
Okay, sure. Get a Gucci in there.
Yeah, Gucci.
Okay,
and I bow a little bit, and yeah, no, it's been fun. You do like people know LeBron James, people know Los Angeles Lakers. But they really know Shohei Ohtani.
No, sure. He got Shingo into the show. He wins.
Like, do you show them that, listen, like, you can swing a bat and you can throw a ball? Like, is that, like, what you do to show them you Shohei Ohtani? Look, I can swing. I can also throw.
I show them my slow-pitch softball highlights from my South Bay co-ed league. But my team is very disappointed that I'm not there. They've crumbled around me. You know, that's the big difference between me and Ohtani is my team wins.
All right, so hey, look, here it's been, I mean, it's kind of weird because I don't know if there's a disconnect with how things are playing there with how things are playing here, but clearly, look, the United States basketball team, look, for most of the star athletes that we've talked about coming to the games, whether it's the U.S. women's soccer team, USA basketball, Katie Ledecky up until an hour or so ago, you know, all the big favorites that we've been talking about have all really underachieved. It's been a disaster of an Olympics, and everybody here is incredibly nervous about the men's basketball team, and there's reports that some of the players aren't getting along with Greg Popovich. Is what we're hearing here in the United States the same kind of vibe that's around the team there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. They are they didn't look like a team that was having a lot of fun against France, really, ever. But it's also like that makes sort of perfect sense based on sort of the circumstances too, right? I thought, you know, Greg Popovich's sort of like post-game rants, the funniest thing that he said to me was he said that, like, you know, it's not like we're just going to roll the ball out there and win, when that is almost precisely the strategy when you have a quarter of your team playing in the NBA Finals, right? You don't replace them. Instead, you put them on a jet and you land them a day before the game and say, okay, go play, you know? And so viewing this as a team itself, like, does just seem, it seems like a little bit of a misnomer. Like, this is like a group of dudes right now playing against a bunch of teams. And Team USA is always sort of like that, but they normally have the talent gap, like truly the talent gap, like to make up for that stuff. This team is dealing with role definition. They're dealing with all this stuff. And then sort of the theory that I'll posit about just the Americans in general is that as a society, like, we don't do uncomfortable very well. And these are an uncomfortable games. You know, like, these are not the circumstances that anybody wants here. People aren't allowed to go and see places. You live your life in a hotel and on a bus. You know, that's not a – I don't want to say, like, it's a soft quality or something like that. But, you know, especially when you hear things like Kirk Roberts say, like, our players have sacrificed to be here. It's like, no, like, this should be a reward. And I do think that whatever happens in these games, I would guess that come Paris in 4 years, it'll be a much more energized Team USA program. These things sort of have a life cycle. You have the dream team, you have the redeem team, and then you'll have whatever happens in Paris. But, like, I think we slowly kind of the talent erodes away, the excitement for Team USA sort of erodes away, and that's where we're left, where you're losing to France to open the games.
Can you extend that, even though they're going to change the rule about, you know, leg extensions and fouls, that doesn't apply to FIBA rules? Can you be the guy to let them know that?
My favorite FIBA rule so far seems to be that to go, they review a lot of stuff, and they make the refs walk into, like, the third row of the scorer's table to go review. That's my favorite FIBA rule so far. Is that because it's truly an international game, because they make them cross, like, a border to get to the review table. No, like, I will say, like, there is very much, like, a no blood, no foul type of element to FIBA basketball that is, like, a major adjustment for people and for players. You see people get really, really frustrated with the physicality of it. You know, look, I don't know that the U.S. is going to win by 40. They should dominate this game. Obviously, they should dominate almost every game they play. But there is an adjustment to this style. There is an adjustment to kind of these rules and this format. And, you know, I mean, look, the U.S. should win gold. I won't be surprised if they don't. Just because, like I said, I mean, this thing kind of, it feels like it always sort of has a cycle. And it feels like we're on, like, the downturn of that.
Are the players, I mean, look, we know that they're all joining and they're, you know, they're trying to figure things out. Look, that transcontinental flight with Devin Booker and, mm-hmm. and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton had to be off the hook. At this point, weird. Can you say they're comfortable enough with each other, or is it going to be they're going to continue to try to figure out and gel and get their chemistry as the games go on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. This is going to be a tournament long process, right? That, like, there are guys on the team, sort of by my count, and I'm not counting JaVale McGee, bless his soul, or Kelvin Johnson. but like, you know, by my count, there are, you know, three guys probably who kind of have, like, a clear role for themselves that's not that different from what they do in the NBA. That's Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, and Drew Holiday. Like, those guys seem to be kind of doing on this team what they normally do. Not surprising, those are three kind of defensive-minded players. Offensively, it's tough. Guys have to sacrifice. Guys have to kind of find their spots. You know, Devin Booker's used to being a primary scorer. Zach LaVine's used to being a primary scorer. Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant. Like, these guys aren't used to playing with the kind of talent that they have. And like I said, this is always a challenge. That's not new. It's not new to this team, per se. But I think under these circumstances, you know, where you've had this team disrupted multiple times, you've got a group of guys that it almost feels a little bit like these games have been imposed on them in some ways instead of the other way around. And then you just sort of add, like, just the chaos, the chaotic nature of the tournament as a whole. I think it's going to take some time for them to, like, really get cohesive. And, you know, normally in the past, their huge talent margins would make up for that. I don't think the talent margins are as wide.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here live from Japan covering the games for the LA Times. At Dan Woike Sports, W-O-I-K-E is the surname. It's our buddy Dan Woike. Get the newsletter, subscribe, read all the updates he's got for you. I got two questions for you, Dan. One,
okay.
One to lighten the mood, and the other is the story of the day. Can you go in and get everybody relaxed by reading them the Iron Sheik's Twitter feed?
Oh, gosh. No, this is going to be very exciting. Iranian legend, the Iron Sheik today, probably lots at stake. I'm going to guess he took the points. Give me my guess.
I'm going to guess you're right. But you know what?
He does
celebrate the U.S. every chance he gets. Obviously, the other story beyond what's wrong with USA basketball is everything Simone Biles. How is that resonating there?
I mean, I think, you know, players are really sympathetic. They understand the pressures and stuff that players are under and people are under and the demands and stuff like that. I think, you know, we saw Jason Tatum kind of take to Twitter to talk about it. It's, to me, the thing that I find most frustrating kind of with all of this and the conversations I've had with people is sort of like, I don't like who we're letting drive the conversations. Like what Simone Biles did was not an act of treachery by any stretch. And so responding to it like it was, I mean, the mental aspect of sports, especially on the Olympic stage, is a huge part of this, right? And you have to overcome the spotlight. You have to overcome the pressure. Like, the world is truly watching. And you do your best to compartmentalize that. But not everybody can. I mean, I think Damian Lillard looked really nervous, by the way, guys, in the opener. And you do see super high-level athletes kind of struggle with it. And that's sort of the nature of these games and the nature of these competitions. That's what they force you to stare that down. And, I mean, I think, I think it's interesting kind of to see Simone Biles like bring it to light, and obviously people don't fully understand it. We can judge that by the reaction, but it's definitely something everybody's talking about here. We'll see where it goes moving forward. The one thing I want to talk about, if I'm going to hijack the conversation for 2 seconds, is like we got to make 3-on-3 basketball a big thing in the U.S. It is so much fun, guys. I have to tell you, I loved it so much. The cast of characters out there is incredible. The U.S. women play tonight. I'm going. I'm very excited about it. My favorite team, the Italian 3-on-3 team, women's team, did not make it out of the quarterfinals. Their point guard is a 5-foot-nothing girl from Wisconsin who speaks perfect Italian, only she does it with like a Coen Brothers accent.
Wow.
Yeah. They asked her about like how the experience was, and she's like, bellissima. Like, it was like, oh my gosh. It is like big top basketball, and they just beat the hell out of each other over there. You think there are no fouls in FIBA? Like, go watch 3-on-3. Like, I think I saw someone get clotheslined. Speaking of the Iron Sheik, he might be a good addition to the Iranian 3-on-3 team. It's just like, you know, he just has like James Harden in the camel clutch in the corner.
With the steel-toed boots, I mean, all he's got to do is, if he kicks out on a
loaded
jumper,
boots.
Forget it. I mean, he's going to wind up with bloody shins.
Yeah, no, I think it has been, though, I haven't been to that many things yet. My world will get bigger a little bit this week. That was so much fun. I sat there with Sports Illustrated's Greg Bishop, a veteran of the games, and he said that was the most fun he's had at an event in 3 Olympics, 3-on-3
basketball.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Wow.
That was great. So watch it. It's nuts. It's fast. One of the games I covered had 4 lead changes in the final 20 seconds. Like a final.
I mean, Jason was trying to perpetrate that he could play handball at the Olympic level.
Oh, I'd be a good handball player. I like it. I wish I had trained for handball when I was a kid. I was made for that one.
It is like the Mexican fusion or Asian fusion of sports, right? Like, where it's just like, take a little bit of baseball, a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of soccer, and you mix them all together, and that's like, that's why we're so bad at it.
Right.
Because all those other guys play those other sports, and we're just going to send Jason instead. You might be our 10th best handball player.
Hey, one thing before we let you go, because this is something that I really feel a need to. One of the big things that stuck out for me the first few days. In water polo, there needs to be an underwater referee. Because all the fouls happen underwater, and they don't call any of them. I mean, people are getting gouged at underwater, but hey, up above the water, everything is fine. Underwater referees, and then water polo gets called correctly.
So I'll let you guys in on a little secret here. So that I'm going to water polo tomorrow and Friday to work on a story. I am fascinated, guys, by all the ways you can get kicked out of Olympic sports and, like, the names of set penalties, right? Like, in judo, for instance, if you break a rule, it's called a grave indifference, which seems like really dramatic.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Wow.
Do you know what it's called? Do you know what it's called in water polo?
Oh boy, what is it called?
A brutality.
That is fantastic. That's WWE finishing moves, man.
He committed a brutality.
I'm gonna go out there and try to see if I can find hear some of the stories of the best water polo brutalities ever thrust upon Olympians, and we'll see how that goes.
I would buy that DVD, Dan. Make
hey,
that happen.
Call the LA Times. I'm gonna get you an extra 1,000 words, okay?
Oh man, it should be. Hopefully, I see some blood in the water. That'd be great.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports. That is at Dan Wojcicki Sports from the Tokyo Games with us. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the Iron Sheik. Enjoy water polo. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, guys. Well, after Iran wins by 10 and hits the money line, if you guys want to give me a call, I'll be around.
Sure.
See you, Dan.
You're not going to water polo. You're not going to 3-on-3. Oh,
can you wow, that's next level.
Take it easy, Dan. Enjoy it. Brutality.
A brutality. And it's, oh, look out. It's the grave indifference.
See, that's when awesome. He said it, I first heard it as a grave indifference, not a grave indifference, but a grave indifference. I'm like, that sounds, oh, no, grave indifference. Oh, no, that sounds pretty bad, too. But brutality is better. I mean, that sounds grave indifference sounds like, you know, I stood by and watched somebody trip and fall when I could have helped them. You know, and they wound up breaking their nose. That's like a grave indifference. I was indifferent. I could help the person when they fell. I didn't. My crime was standing around and not doing anything. But a brutality
it's like you're
is
the
like
end
no,
of
no.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. No, no. A brutality is no, I am out and I am beating the crap out of you and I am committing a brutality again. No, that sounds like that's a penalty I earned. You know, that's a penalty that I earned that penalty.
I'm thinking of the application, and it always goes back to The Simpsons. Remember the episode Bart and Santa's Little Helper are looking into the doghouse, and Homer walks by and says, "What you doing? Oh, what's going on?" He's like, "Badger." It's like, "Badger my ass." And he goes in, and he gets all, and he comes out, and he's all cut up and defeated. He's like, "Yeah, it's a badger." That's kind of like fighting underneath the water in a water polo match. Brutality!
You know, one time, I'll tell you this story real fast. This is really funny. Back from when I played hockey. And I never got penalties, right? Like, I just wasn't a guy that drew penalties. Like, I was a glory boy. I was a scorer, right? So I get a penalty, and I got one. My stick got caught up with somebody, so I got a tripping penalty, and it was, like, my first penalty of the season. So I go, and I get in the box, and the scorer is writing it down. I go, "Hey, do me a favor. Can you write down something like boarding, something that's really cool? Because I never get penalties. Can you write down boarding?" He goes, "Yeah, what'd you get?" I go, "Tripping." He goes, "Yeah, sure." So he writes down boarding. So the game ends, right, and I finish, and then suddenly the guy that runs the rink and runs the league comes up to me and says, "Hey, just so you know, one more penalty, you get a suspension." I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You got a boarding penalty, man. We can't do that here." I go, no, it was a tripping penalty. I said, "Write it down because find the guy. Like, I don't want to get another penalty because if you get two boarding penalties, you get suspended."
Well, you got
like,
what
no,
you
no,
want.
No. It was just tripping. I never get penalties. And here I am, a lunatic, going, "I never get penalties. Just write." I told him to write down
make
boarding.
Make me look tough.
Tripping. I'm like, "Yeah, I just wanted." He goes, "What are you talking about?" I go, "I was just joking with him, but trust me, find that." And then he found him and said it was tripping. He goes, "Okay, I get it. Don't do that again." I go, "Yeah, no problem. I'll never do that again." Before he comes to me and says, "One more penalty, you get suspended. You can't board people." I'm like, "Oh, okay." I was, you know,
that's
the price,
next level right there.
The price you pay to try to look cool once in a while. It happens that way. Plus, another big story out of the National Football League coming your way next, right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Damian Lillard doing his best to make sure the United States does not lose to Iran. It is 20-12 right now. Lillard's already connected three times from deep. The lineup change may be doing well for the United States. Jrue Holiday and Devin Booker in the starting lineup together. And right before the game, Jrue Holiday went over to slap hands with Devin Booker, and he punched him in the face with his championship ring. So that was – oh, sorry. That really didn't happen. But if I said that, okay, maybe it did.
I still United want the tapes of the conversation from the plane ride over.
Can I get a new seat, please? I can't sit next to this guy. He keeps bringing up game five. Can I please get a new seat? So timeout right now, and United States leads Iran 23-12 right now in the game. Meanwhile, a big story out of the NFL in that it looks like Deshaun Watson's going to get to throw some footballs at training camp. He has been cleared to practice while his situation is being investigated into the women who have brought charges or brought cases against him for sexual misconduct. Kind of surprising that the NFL is going to allow him to do this. The NFL has said, listen, we haven't had a chance to look at any evidence yet. The police won't let them look at it. They haven't had a chance to talk to anybody yet. So this could be a little bit of the NFL going, okay, we'll let him hear, but you got to tell us what's going on. Look, it's ridiculous that Deshaun Watson is cleared to be out there. It doesn't make any sense. What the NFL is going to do is they're hoping they do it all the time. I just can't get over how they do this. They're going to let this happen until it gets to the point where they're getting the publicity is so bad for it that then they're going to put him on the exempt list. They don't want to put him on and have him sit there indefinitely. What's happening? We don't know. So they're going to do what Major League Baseball did with Trevor Bauer. We're going to wait until the publicity is so bad, and then we're going to put him on the exempt list. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Because the more that Deshaun Watson's at practice, people's attention is going to focus to that. There's going to be a lot of complaints. How do you let this guy on the field? And I don't know how they let him on the field. What's going on either. So, you know, listen, we're talking about it now. Other people will. When it gets to be too much, then the NFL will say, okay, now we're going to sit you to be on the exempt list for a while, and then we'll go forward. Because this is a really bad optic for the NFL while this is going on, because you want to make it seem like, hey, we're taking it seriously, right? That's the main. This is a serious situation, okay? You have 20 women that have said, hey, he acted improperly with me. 20 people. And it's like, well, we got to let him practice. No, you don't need to do that. The NFL continues to miss up when it comes to moral things that go on. But I can't see this going on for a long time, because eventually they're going to say, okay, now we have to do something about it.
Well, when it comes to the NFL, right, people have had the opposite of, hey, you acted harshly, and then things get reconciled, and it's trying to figure out where in the personal conduct policy, you know, what's the level that it rises to once all facts are in evidence and investigations are done. So the NFL's got their ongoing investigation. The Houston Police Department has theirs. You've got 22 civil lawsuits, 10 active criminal complaints that are starting to be researched. So they're still far, far away. And, you know, we talked about it. Deshaun Watson can't be deposed till February 22nd. So you don't make a move until you have to. And in the interim, you know, it's preseason. Plenty of other stories. And you can thank Aaron Rodgers for that.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Don't forget, right after our show is over in about an hour, our Best Of podcast goes up on iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get the Best Of. Subscribe it. Rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. Again, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, why Simone Biles is going to be the most difficult challenge of mine and a lot of other people's sports talk radio careers. Fox.